This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast and our review of Army of the Dead. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Straight into it then for this zombie heist film, words that have never been said before, sure, before this film anyway. Released to Netflix around the world, it did have a limited theatrical release in the States at least 1 week before it dropped onto Netflix.
Okay, yeah.
On May 21st. It is, of course, directed by Zack Snyder, produced by his wife, Deborah Snyder.
Zebra.
Yeah. Deborah Snyder, Wesley Coller, screenplay by, what the fuck am I doing? Screenplay by Zack Snyder, Shai Hatton, Harold Joby.
Sure.
Interesting word.
I'm just trusting you.
Yep. Based off Zack Snyder's own story, because this is meant to be a spiritual sequel to his original first directorial debut,
Dawn of the Dead
remake, which was a fantastic film.
You love that, yes?
Yeah, probably is my favorite remake.
Good
stop.
Lord.
148 minutes long, can you believe?
Frankly, yes.
Well, you did, you sat through it. And the music's by Tom Holkenborg, and it stars Dave Bautista, Ella Purnell, Omari Hardwick, Ana de la Regua, Theo Rossi, here we go, Matthias Schweighofer, and
this is the entertainment right
Yuki
here, right
Sonata, here. As well as Tig Notaro, which is very important for reasons that come up later, and I believe the other two, Raul Castillo and Garrett Dillahunt. Wow, $70 to $90 million budget. It has a 71% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes as we speak.
Does it, Paul? Does it really?
I was very interested in how Wayne would go with this film. I think he may have just played his hand. Give us this plot synopsis, please.
Okay, so Las Vegas gets overrun by zombies who killed everyone in Vegas and turned it into a huge city of the undead. Then the government has this, like, they contained the city, like, with barriers and shit. Shipping containers, right? And are now planning to nuke the entire city to rid the world of zombies. Now, in the days before that nuke is scheduled to be launched, former mercenary Scott Ward, Dave Bautista, is hired by some Japanese dude to gather a team of specialists.
Yeah, Wayne mocks and doesn't say his name.
Yeah, his name is his name is Scorpion from Mortal Kombat. And so he's hiring them to break back into Vegas and steal $200 million from the vault of a casino and then get out before the nuclear bomb drops on them. And this is their story.
All right. That is a spot on plot synopsis for what is a very long film. Mm. I'm going to say this as the first thing.
Go on.
Surprisingly, didn't feel as long as it should have to me. Now, I reckon you might be very different.
Mm.
Probably helped that I watched it over two nights due to the fact that the wife watched it with me. So
and back
she
out.
She hates horror films.
As do I.
But zombies are her, I don't know what to call it, her blind spot. She'll watch zombies.
I get it, because zombies are the best type of horror film, because it's just little monsters, you know what I mean? It's not like trying to jump scare you necessarily. It's not like torture porn.
Absolutely not
it's
torture not, porn.
It's just no. like, ah.
But it's certainly super gross, and it tries to be super gross.
It is, but that's like, it's usually comedically played.
Yeah, it's over the top.
Yeah, so that's fine.
All right, so I enjoyed that experience enough watching it.
I would actually agree with that.
And look, it's very Zack Snyder-y, right?
Yeah.
There's not as much slow-mo as I was expecting.
Yes, go on. Right?
But I guess what I'm trying to say here is I kind of had a good time. I had fun.
Mm.
And I know I'm giving it a zombie multiplier when I give my
Absolutely.
Score.
Absolutely.
But there are a host of problems with this film as well.
Hmm. Okay, interesting.
Now Wayne can shit on it. Go ahead, Wayne. What's your general thought?
I'm going to tell you something, right? People, Paul. It started so well.
That opening credit
that
sequence
opening,
is
the
one
prologue,
of the best ever.
An inspired collision of like comedy, camp, carnage, backstory. I think it's actually masterly how good that went.
The,
right?
the prologue itself, how the zombie escapes. We'll be spoiler free, by the way. If you're new to the show, welcome. It's great to have you here. But we'll be spoiler free up until we give a signal where we're not going to be. So
sure.
And obviously,
well,
zombies
get
out.
Explain yeah. how zombies get out.
And I get that. That opening bit was very predictable and kind of stupid, I thought. But then we get to the opening montage credit sequence, and I was like, this is astoundingly good.
Oh, dude, Snyder is so good at opening credits.
Yeah, right? Dawn of the Dead is one of the most, the pre-credit sequence for that is renowned for being awesome as well.
Well, that's the thing. Now, I actually, here's the thing. When I realized it was on Netflix, instead of I had to go, Netflix, I'll just do it right here, right?
Well, look, I love the fact that you were willing to go.
I was willing to go.
It's a big horror month for whatever weird reason.
No shit.
Between
not having a great
Spiral,
time.
Army of the Dead, if you want to call it a horror. It's more an action film. And then we've got coming next week, Quiet Place Part 2, and
then
The Conjuring Part
3. I'm not fucking watching The Conjuring.
Yes, you are.
Suck a dick.
Yes, you are.
I will see about that. Okay, but here it is though, right? I sit down to this horror movie, all right? And I'm like, you know what? It's Zack Snyder. I love this guy.
Yep.
I love how he shoots. I think as a shooter, he's actually got a sensibility you don't see hardly at all, in fact, ever. So he's great. I want action. It's only zombies. Let's go. All right?
All right.
So I love the way this opening is, right? But with the, even with the Elvis music and the Vegas this.
I didn't mind the original, the first sound or needle drop in this film, the Elvis song. Viva Las Vegas?
Viva Las Vegas, yeah.
Great. No worries.
It's fucking great.
Some of the other needle drops in this film are fucking awful.
All right, so
Zack Snyder needs to stop putting his own music in, his choices of music in. Like, he is the antithesis of fucking Quentin Tarantino.
Tarantino nails
it virtually every time.
Tarantino's doing this. He's making such an outlandish 70s sounding shit that no one ever heard of thing that you're just assuming it's all good.
Wow.
Zack Snyder, him using like fucking Bob Dylan and shit and Watchmen, he actually usually makes a good call. I think he does.
Between this and some of the shit he put in Justice League, I'm like, you're licensed.
What was in Justice League? Okay, anyway.
You're licensed to put in remakes of old songs with crappy fucking acoustic covers.
Oh, no, I like
has
that.
Been revoked.
I really liked that one. Dude, the whole Honeymoon in Vegas soundtrack is just famous people doing covers of Elvis. It's fucking fantastic. So I like that kind of shit. But what I will say, though, is that, because Vegas. I mean, I spent a week in Vegas one night. Totally.
One night?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
A whole week in one night. That's Vegas.
That's what I'm saying. It's Vegas. I've done that at least twice, man. All right. So I know this techie ass shit, and I actually enjoy how tacky it is. So that's cool. But then the movie, after that brilliant, one would argue, if you're me, opening, it's just cracks start appearing, bro.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You've got like...
Because we get into the human shit.
Just clumsy setup. Now, it's got a giant ensemble by comparison, sort of. And a lot of the motivations for the characters, right? Because it's supposed to be wrapped up real quick. Like, hey, we're all going here. It's a lot of money. Let's go. Okay. I don't mind that. I don't mind him building the team in 2 minutes. I don't mind it.
Speak generally for a moment because... I want to get into all that on the spoiler side, right? But I 100% agree with you. The character motivations in this film are dog shit.
And then when characters then take actions later on in the film, I don't buy it because I don't buy the reason they turned up in the first place.
Yeah, because almost none of them are well established. Zack Snyder hopes to establish them by saying, what are they willing to work for? You get that one tidbit of information, which is the running gag through this recruitment phase of the film.
Right.
Which is fine, but you need more. You need more to care about these people, and when they become zombie fodder, you want them to they died.
Yes.
You know?
And I didn't get any of that because I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
I was surprised by a couple of deaths, I'll say that, but I was never like, aw.
Because everyone but perhaps the lead and the innocents in here, the two or three innocent people you would argue in here, are kind of pieces of shit. They're kind of pieces of shit on some level, so you don't really care, right?
Yeah, well, I can... Look, still.
I know.
It's that lack of awe factor. And the best ensemble survival horror films have multiple characters you want to see live, but you know they won't all make it because this is one of those movies.
Yeah.
And so you're dreading/looking forward to that moment. That's a horror film fan's wheelhouse.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
And this film doesn't achieve it because it doesn't establish its characters well enough.
Because they're unmemorable fuckers. Like, they're not particularly... I know that he's whipping through the intros, but
you can't whip through intros in a 2.5-hour film.
This is the thing. Why is it 2.5 hours?
I was stunned when I turned it on, onto Netflix. I'm like, 2 hours and 28 minutes? What the fuck?
And, bro, I'll tell you this. I felt the length of this movie more than I felt the 4-hour Justice League movie.
Well, I absolutely did not. Not for me. Not at all.
Okay, so for me, I was like...
And that's wheelhouse difference, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Superheroes, your thing. Horror movies, my thing. And again, probably helped by dividing up into two nights. And the first screening, so you call it that, we only watched 50 minutes and then we watched the whole rest of the second half of the film the second night.
Okay, I think that helped.
That probably did help to have almost this, enforced...
You can't do that in the cinema.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't get a pass because of that. I'm just saying that. I'm explaining why it didn't. Or what did help me, I should say.
No, that's fair enough.
But I 100% agree. And I don't know if it's... I think it is the writing, but I also think it's the editing. I think this film, despite being 2 hours and 28 minutes long, was chopped to shit in those sequences.
You reckon?
If it wasn't, it is one of the worst scripts
probably,
ever.
Probably. That's the thing. It's bad. It's either poorly written or poorly edited.
We get moments, and again, I'd like to get into it on the other side of spoilers, where characters do something, and like, oh, we've got a deal. What? What deal?
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Exactly. It's like whipped over or even not mentioned.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay. Which means it disorients you as a viewer.
Yes.
And then you're like, I don't know, it's too much for you to think about or wonder about.
Because I honestly thought I wasn't paying enough attention.
Well.
But I pay pretty good attention to films.
No.
I like to think.
You didn't miss it. It was poorly handled.
It wasn't there.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
It was poorly handled.
you can't shoot a three-hour film, zombie film, and expect that to be okay. Mm-hmm. And so if they have chopped half an hour out here and one day there'll be a Zack Snyder fucking cut of Army of the Dead, no, just get it. Stop pontificating and wasting time on moments that don't need to be so elongated.
Did you notice, and I noticed this maybe a couple, two, three times during the movie, so first of all, I think Zack Snyder should stick to action scenes because that's where it's all good. When he tries this fucking, you know, like drama thing, it just weighs down the movie, yeah. Right? So there's that. So, but during the action scenes even, I felt these were a bit bloated. Like I was sitting there watching it. Like, for example,
I didn't have that. I enjoyed
it. Dude, like bang, 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 bang. And he's taking out zombies in the head and stuff. Some person is, let's say, right? There's like 7-8 waves of those things, and it's pretty much the same scene in different CG. I'm just looking at it going, okay, I understand what he's doing now. Can you show me someone else doing another part of the fight? I'm watching it going bang, 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 bang.
I didn't get
bang,
that
bang,
at all. Bang, I really bang, enjoyed.
Really?
Other than the opening montage, there's really two major action sequences in this film. And the last half an hour arguably is one extended, not the last half an hour, bar the coda epilogues, which we'll talk about. Hmm. But the big finale is about half an hour long. And then there's a great sort of 10-minute sequence about an hour and 15 into the film, which is also really, really cool.
Hmm.
I enjoyed those two scenes, sequences a lot.
For me, give me the action and I'm fine with it. And it was great. Although I tell you what, like it was stylish, sure, shall we say, more at the beginning of the movie. Towards the end of the movie, this felt more like a bog standard action film to me. I didn't see the style of Zack Snyder as much because I don't know.
We didn't see the slow-mo anywhere near as much as I anticipated.
Well, the opening bit was beautiful. The opening bit with all the slow-mo was excellent. The credits.
The occasional great shot. There's a shot where a character kind of rolls beneath a zombie, which is diving over the top and it kind of pans around and 180. I'm like, oh, that was beautiful. That was really cool.
I think I remember that. Yeah. Okay. No, look, he's still Zack Snyder and stuff, but it seems like he had to cut a lot, like not to have a slow-mo. So who knows?
Yeah. Look, the other things I liked about the film, I think it's great to have such a diverse cast. So this is what you'd normally see is 8 white people, 1 African-American, and maybe 1 other. But
denomination.
Yes. Barely here. Everyone was from all denominations. That's nice. And I think that was a really great effort. The other thing I really liked was that they did something different with the zombies. And we'll say what that is on the other side of spoilers, but they worked in a different thing, which initially I wasn't on board with, but as the film went, I'm like, okay, I can kind of see what's happening here.
Is there something different with the zombies?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
You're not being a zombie.
Obviously not yet. Okay, you can tell me that. Good.
And I think the idea of a zombie tiger and things like that, which is all in the trailers, that's fun. The execution of it, not so much.
Do you think it'll look good?
No.
CGI...
And it makes sense when you look at 70 to 90 million. That's not enough money to make a CGI... undead tiger look good.
We are so hard to please now, man. I tell you what. I know you're right. It was
obviously photorealistic.
But I mean, I know. Perhaps you're right.
But I do want to give real credit here to this. So Tig Notaro, right?
Yep, Tig Notaro, yep.
She was cast late. Late, principal photography was done. The guy was Chris D'Elia. Is that his name?
Chris D'Elia.
Chris D'Elia?
D'Elia, yes.
Yeah? So he was
He had that problem.
He was cancelled because of all his accusations. And so rather than fuck with it, Zack Snyder said, no, screw it. And so they went, approached Tig, and he showed her the dailies of Chris's work. And obviously she's a very different person. And she said, how am I going to do this? They green screened everything.
Are you kidding?
Everything. And I didn't notice because I didn't know that.
I didn't notice either.
Apparently if you did know that, you can see it. And certainly in some of the shots where like she's walking with the group. But I didn't see it.
I didn't see it at all. So, I had no idea.
Massive props for that.
Do you know that she's a comedian, Tig Notaro, and I'm sure she knows Chris D'Elia.
Yeah, they do. She said that.
Yeah, she actually did this one years ago. I heard about this. She actually got diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, God.
Okay. And then went on stage and did a comedy routine about her doing it, about her getting, how she's feeling and shit, and apparently it killed.
Wow.
Can you imagine that?
That's very impressive.
That's pretty impressive right there.
So yeah.
And she's fine now, so there you go.
And wonderful to hear.
Yeah.
But so I really enjoyed some of that stuff. And can I just say a big, massive prop as well to the gore. The gore here is fantastic in certain sequences.
I would agree. I actually look at it, I don't enjoy it, but I know that it's not bad.
I did the whole, you know, laughter, ha, 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 oh my God, that was awesome.
Mm.
A couple of deaths here in particular, really, I was almost applauding.
There was one exploding body where I was like, that was fucking, that would actually have been difficult to do. Like to make it look like that. So yeah, fair enough.
But the problems are the script, the terrible character motivations.
I think you said this once. Zach should not write.
Exactly.
You should use other people's shit.
Yep.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that.
All right. Look, we've probably gone on long enough in the non-sports section. I want to get to the things that irked me. And let's do it on the other side of Jack letting us know spoilers are coming.
You can't handle the truth.
All right. So if you're still here, you've seen the film, or you just don't care.
Bring it on, old man.
feel free, weigh in here.
All right, so here's one thing. The reason, this is my example of poor writing, okay? The coyote girl, the blonde girl?
Yes.
Okay. So there's a moment in this, well, there's the one of the under sort of like sub stories is that the Japanese dude's head of security who's in there with them wants to get the head of one of the zombies so he can replicate the technology.
It's Martin. Yep.
Martin, right? Yep. So he's carrying on that head in a bag, and at some stage in the movie...
I thought it was Tilly, but it's Lily.
Lily. That's right, Lily. So in one stage of the movie, Lily realizes there's like a counting machine that's roughly the same weight as the head, so she swaps out the bag, and then he's carrying around this counting machine instead of the head, so now he doesn't have his prize anymore. Then towards the end of the movie, he obviously double-crosses them and goes, ha-ha, I'm going to get out of here. Gets out of there, and he's walking around with this thing, so we're like, he's, you know, he's fucked up, he hasn't got the thing that he wanted. Then the tiger comes and kills him anyway, so it wouldn't have made a fucking difference. It's like, this is stupid. Like,
it did make a difference because she needed to have the head which made the big alpha zombie come chasing them.
Oh, that's better. Yep. But I remember thinking to myself, so this means nothing?
I would go further back than that.
Go ahead.
The thing I was referring to earlier is, when did Lily and Martin make this deal?
Never.
Suddenly they're out the front and we're talking. You're like, that's terrible.
Now,
what is she doing? Why is she agreeing to this? And she's a fucking idiot if she thinks this guy's just going to double-cross everyone to that extent.
And she's supposed to be smart.
Yes.
And street smart.
She survived for... Mm-hmm. This is the other thing. This film never establishes how long it's been between the opening credit sequence and what we're seeing here.
Yeah.
Never.
Good point.
Initially, we're like, is it weeks later? Because why is there a refugee tent city around fucking Vegas? Why haven't they moved these people somewhere else?
The idea, I think, was that with all the newscasts and everything, there's people protesting, these are refugee camps, your government, you're just using it as a place to put people that are illegal immigrants.
But there's got to be somewhere better in all of America than just outside the fucking shipping container wall, which, by the way...
Was that not the point, though?
Suspension of disbelief in the extreme. We can put down enough shipping containers all the way around Vegas, mm-hmm. not let one alpha or one shambler get out and infect it. Like, come on. This is
because they can't climb up, Paul.
I get that they can't climb up.
No, but shit. I'm telling you.
But how do they not... It's a fucking desert. How are these things not spread wide?
Also, it's zombies. Just kill enough of your own people, then climb on top of them and run out.
Yes. Which we see in a piece of shit film like World War Z. So,
is that what happened?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's all that. But I think that the point of the refugee camp was that the whole point of like Area 51 being out in the middle of nowhere, as well as Vegas being in the middle of a desert, is that you can contain it if you keep it all in one spot.
Yeah, if you can get past the...
I'm just making excuses for the movie.
The military lost Las Vegas, but they were able to keep them surrounded in bullshit.
It's all bullshit.
So anyway, you got to accept that and move on.
I'm fine with that. You're not going to... It's a stupid movie.
But I don't understand why... Because I think in the end we land on... There's probably been years since this all happened. Judging on the basis of...
At least a year.
Judging on the basis of the... Advanced decompensation of the zombies which have been left out in the sun, right? Which they walk past when they get back inside.
Can I ask you something on that point? Mm-hmm. That scene you're talking about, they walk out and they go, oh, these things come alive when it rains.
Yes, what's that?
And then it never fucking rains!
No.
And like, they cut that bit.
But it's another dumb moment and should not have been in the film.
They should have cut that bit as well, but obviously they had no intro shot for them to walk through. That's what's going on.
I don't know. It's just that was really strange. And
this is hacked to bits, man, I reckon.
Really poor, right? Or the writing's really dumb and things that are established aren't paid off. I'm like, well, what's the point? What's the point of saying that?
Yes, exactly. That's why I think this is,
Let's go a little further then.
Bring it.
The great action sequence, which has the gangbanger's girlfriend, basically, right? She dies. Goes out fucking like a boss, killing so many zombies.
Well, you just think
she's going to get eaten and killed because she says to Martin, I know you're up to something.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, dumb move when you're at the back of a group in the middle of zombies. Why would you say that? Why would you not just wait until you're around everyone and just go, this guy's up to something?
Also, but
that's beside the point.
If you've got enough time fighting zombies to shout to your bro and say, leave me or whatever, she can say, Martin fucking double-crossed me and left me to die.
True.
She should have yelled that out and said, kill him now. Boom.
Yep.
All right.
That's true. That's true as well. She kills dozens of zombies. Great sequence. Really enjoyed that. It was a lot of fun.
That was fine.
Her death was arguably the most heroic in the whole film.
Probably.
Maybe other than the Dieter's death, but that was dumb as that was.
That was dumb too, man.
Yeah, yeah. But they go through this hibernating zombies, right? What does this establish? The entire existence of hibernating zombies in this film is all about just this one cool sequence. It doesn't get justified in the film at all.
Can you explain that to me then? Because when that first started that sequence, they're hibernating, and then they slowly woke up as shit went down.
By noise and shit.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, you're right. See, I didn't know if that was a thing
or not. What's that a thing with zombies? Like, so they added this level, which is dumb as fuck, because we just want to have a cool sequence. That's the only reason that exists.
Again, poorly written.
Yeah. Whereas, okay, so now we get to the part I liked. got these alpha zombies. If you're bitten by the original, kind of like vampire lore here a bit. If you're bitten by the original vampire, you have maintained more of your faculties. You're smarter and more intelligent. Never been done, as far as I'm aware, in a zombie film before.
Is that so?
Yeah. Okay. This is the new thing I was looking
to. Hence, there was a head zombie.
There was a head zombie, which I assume was the guy that escaped.
Yep.
At the start of the film.
Yep, I assume.
And his queen and a whole bunch of other ones, including the asshole guard from Sons of Anarchy who gets bitten and turned and just comes back. Very briefly at the end of the film, he comes back and causes a few problems. Yeah, so I didn't mind that sort of, here are the smart ones and here are the kind of, they control the others, which is the whole point then, of course, why the Japanese businessman is Tanaka has sent Martin and the crew in. He's not really interested in the money. He wants this.
Exactly.
So that all works. I enjoyed that part. That's fine. What I didn't like is just the fact that suddenly we're meant to believe that this chick loves Scott. We saw not one instance or iota of interest from her until that point.
That was very sudden. Although, you know, I mean, I guess... What was that for, though? Was that...
That's a shock moment.
So you mean something... I literally said
to Patsy, she just revealed her love. She's dead. She lasted 30 seconds my statement.
Yeah, and that's what it was. It wasn't tipped off early on, so you didn't have enough time to develop care for her.
Yes.
And then when they just turn her head or whatever, it's like, what?
And then the spine pokes out. That was cool.
I'll bet you like that. I'll bet you loved that. Yeah.
Likewise, the relationship between Dieter and, I can't remember, it starts with the Vandero.
Which one is Dieter?
Dieter was the safecracker.
Okay.
And the very large African-American dude, right? So they become, you know, bros. But I'm like, it happened
in
so
about three
quickly.
Seconds, bro. And initially they hated each other.
Exactly. So we didn't see enough of that to believe that transition. No. And my biggest... Sorry, I'll jump one more thing, and then all over to you.
No, the daughter.
We get one bullshit sequence at the start where she's like, but I know this woman's kids and I need to protect her. She risks everybody's life time and again.
Exactly.
And ultimately kills her dad because of this, which was that was another surprise, and the pilot, because they would have lived if not for her.
Yeah.
Like... There's not enough here that you would risk your life. Why? Because I kind of like the girl's kid, the woman's kids.
Exactly. That's what it was. You might, in a pinch, argue that because she's living in a, like, because, you know, I'll use this money to save all these people here because I've got a connection with them and I care and I'm an activist and that sort of thing. You might get this. I'm going to take care of these kids and I'm going to fuck everyone to get it. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make sense. And that's the biggest problem with this movie, in my opinion. Yep. The thing with him and his daughter. Yeah, the character motivation of his daughter makes zero sense. And even with, like, she's estranged from him because he had to kill the mother, even though he was obviously distraught having to do so. She's still mad at him. It just doesn't work out.
Yeah,
it doesn't work
just out. These sequences, these, like, Zach.
I fart in your general direction.
Seriously, this is terrible writing, and it's really badly executed on the screen.
Bad.
It is.
It's sucker punch bad. He's also not that, you know, the African-American guy in question.
Yep.
He sprouts prose.
He suddenly goes into these philosophical existential debates.
It just hangs there. I'm like, what's he doing? It's actually painful. It's like cringy when he does it. I'm like, this is stupid. Ugh, I hated all that shit. And you know what the worst thing was? At the end, I actually wrote this in my notes.
Go, please.
This is getting fucking annoying at the end here. There are several opportunities for the head zombie to be dispatched, and the characters are either uncharacteristically inept or stupid or slow. The zombie wears a homemade helmet that only covers the top part of his head,
which
is somehow impervious to high-caliber assault rounds. Bullets.
Like, come on.
What's it made of, mate?
Exactly.
So that's shit. And also, if you had they had big-ass guns, just shoot the bottom of his head or...
How about the bit where Scott, when they're in the hotel and they're rescuing that one woman and he shoots the fucking grenade launcher, whatever it is, past the zombie?
Yeah, and blows
it. Explodes.
Yep.
I'm like, had you hit it... dead center. It doesn't matter what fucking helmet it's wearing.
Exactly. It would have blown to bits. It even blew through the... Yeah, no. This is... What was that, man?
Yeah. It got... Even more than that, this zombie was so magical. So they have that big battle sequence where they get on the helicopter and escape. Not the second one, but then...
Yes.
Flies them to get his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You be here and they have the Bishop moment from Aliens where it's lifted off.
Yeah, thank you. I wrote it here. They did an Aliens thing. Yeah. That was a ripoff of Aliens, big time, man. And I didn't care for it because it wasn't like in Aliens, Bishop was trying to save them by getting off the
platform. It wasn't earned.
It was like,
I left, but then I came back.
Developed a conscience, I'm fine. You know, it's all shit. This is, that gave me the shit.
But then we get a shot of the helicopter. It's a helicopter, mind you.
Yes.
The alpha zombies at the top of whatever building where the helicopter was. I can't remember the name of the casino. It gets all the way down, right? Jumps on its undead horse.
Yep.
And races through the Las Vegas strip, whatever.
Yep.
At the same pace that the helicopter just flies to the next spot.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, fuck off.
Exactly. Fuck off. And get to the top of the tower as well.
And then gets like, oh my God.
Come on, man. And you know what? Even when the zombie was in the helicopter after it jumped off the roof all right? Fucking the daughter is asking about for 10 minutes in the chopper before deciding to hit it with an extinguisher, even though it's about to kill her dad. Then she shoots the fucking Tig Notaro and then some shit and it goes down. And I'm like,
that was him. He shot.
He did. Sorry. But even like at one stage, his gun was pointed towards the head of the zombie bad guy who didn't have a helmet anymore. And he somehow fails to pull the trigger. I'm getting annoyed and annoyed. Yeah. And I'm sitting there, this is bullshit. The best thing about this whole sequence is the Cranberry song at the end. Zombie. I'm like, yeah.
That's all I'm talking about.
That was great. I know it was obvious, but I liked it. I was like, ugh. And they even did like, they were like, there was some other song that they were, it was really good, like the getting ready sequence.
I didn't like the
Bad music. Moon Rising. It was Bad Moon Rising, and it was the fuck. And I was like, yeah, this is all right. This is fine. I love getting ready sequences.
I hate these soft cock covers. It might have been the actual live version of Zombie. I'm not sure, but.
That one was real.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was, I don't know. I like that shit, but hey, that's me. Again, I like his music choices. That's a funny thing.
So maybe very, the only very different like experience.
So.
And then, of course, the very, very end. So, the woman that Geeta, I think her name was, that Kate went back in to get, who gets on the helicopter, we never even see what happens to her.
And does she get her kids back?
We presume. No, the kids died. One got dragged away. We never saw what happened to her. And the other one got bitten by the evil.
No, but there were two kids in the camp, right? That she was.
Oh, the kids in the camp. No, I'm talking about the elder.
The older kids. Yeah, they're fucked up.
Whether they're kids or daughters or aunts or nieces or whatever the fuck they are. But Geeta, she makes it back to the helicopter. We never even see what happens to her. We don't even get in a 2 hour, 28. We don't even get a shot of her dead.
Yep.
Which presumably she died in the plane crash. The helicopter crash. Also,
I didn't even think about that. You're right.
For the record, helicopters can't fly through a fucking nuclear storm, including the EMP.
I was thinking that. As soon as they see the nuke coming, it's like land the helicopter. Land the helicopter, right?
And then one last thing to really annoy the shit out of me: the crappy 5 minute coda. Which I thought was going to have showing the African-American dude, the giant dude. He gets out of the vault, survives. Uh-huh. How did you open the vault from the inside? But anyway, okay. Climbs through all the debris and refuse of the nuclear explosion. Walks straight through the radioactive infested areas without, you know, seemingly any consequence. You know, nuclear fallout, all the rest of that.
When he looked,
I thought, okay, we're showing this because he's going to drive to wherever the fuck Tanaka is. He's going to kill Tanaka. That's the end of the film. All right. It's not good, but it's... No. He's just getting away. And he's going to turn into a zombie so we can have a sequel. I'm like, fucking hell. Mm-hmm. That was like 5 minutes for this bullshit.
Yep. And that end bit as well was like, given the character he was, if he realized he was turning into a zombie, he would shoot himself.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
Agree. He was a noble.
He should have been done. So it's like, he's like, what the hell? And then they kind of, I'm like, this is shit. It's just unsatisfying.
100% unsatisfying.
Yeah.
Just to end on the last thing, which I want to say, which is positive to go back to that. Holy shit. The kill with as much as the zombie tiger looks stupid.
Yes.
When it killed Martin, the Carter Burke character, by the way, that felt very much Carter Burke-ish. Carter Burke from Aliens. Lock the door, leave him in there.
Did you think his glasses were meant to make him look like Elvis at the beginning? He had sunglasses on and I'm like, is he supposed to be kind of Elvis-y? That's what I thought. Anyway, sorry, go on.
His death, when it bit into his face, it was hilarious.
Oh yeah, that was huge. That crack. Awesome. Yep. Yeah, I thought you'd like that.
And also when Lily died, getting impaled, and she just drops the head.
What's that about? Why did she say go now? Like she was sacrificing herself.
Why did she not? We said exactly the same thing. Why does she not just walk back to the helicopter,
drop the head, and
fly away?
Let's see if the spirit of the helicopter come.
Again, terrible writing.
Doesn't make any sense that she would have sacrificed herself at that stage. Never.
So I bitched a lot about the script here, which is my thing.
See, this is the thing.
But I had fun.
Yeah, fuck you. You sit there and you go, I had fun, but here's the 2,000 things wrong with it. You don't like it. You just like zombies. And that's what's going on here, bro.
All right, let's wrap it up.
No, you go first.
All right, I'll go first. Here's my final thoughts on Army of the Dead. So much wrong with it, yet so much fun. Would I watch this film again before most of the shit I've watched this year? Absolutely.
Fuck off.
And I would probably fast forward to the bits I really liked. So I'm going to give it exact same score around as Justice League 60.
I thought you were going to go like 67.
Nah.
That's what I thought.
Best I can make, it's a soft. I mean, that's an exact 3. I think I gave Justice League 3 stars as well. Which one would I watch more? Army of the Dead I watched before Justice League again. Because it's 2.5 hours versus 4 hours.
I'm totally the other way. All right, I'm 48. I'm 48 on this one.
Couldn't quite get over the line.
All right. I just couldn't get there.
Fair enough. So 2.5 stars, 1 in 3 for me. That's our review of Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Let us know via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at thecountdownpc. You can like and follow the show where we host through Podbean. And check out ccradio.com.au for the other great shows on the network, Comic Confidential, and Believe in Love After.
What?
What's that Cher song?
Yeah, it's Believe.
I believe in love.
That's how it goes.
Life after love. That's it. Yeah. I got confused. That's it from us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And we'll catch you next time on the back of this soundboard saying goodbye as well.
Holy hell, son. You're about as useful as a cock-flavored lollipop.
Zack Snyder's script synopsis.
Or as useful as the soundboard.
We'll catch you next time.